free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box here at WCBH Studios, courtesy of Rumble Spoon Productions. I am here with the ever-present, ever-focused Kevin. Kevin, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. How art thou?
Oh, we're getting Elizabethan here. Oh, my.
How art thou?
I haven't spoken to you in a fall tonight. Yes. I let them eat cake on Tuesdays.
By the way, do you want to say hello to our sponsors?
Do we have sponsors now? I thought we lost all of our sponsors.
Oh, no.
I feel like our sponsors kicked us to the curb.
No. What they're looking for is a new contract to sign.
Oh. Little halves?
Yes.
Little halves hot sauce? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
We need to write up a contract and they can sign it in hot sauce.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Just dip the quill in like some hot sauce.
Do you have any hot sauce remaining from when last time you went back to Ohio?
Yeah, of course. I always do. I treasure that stuff. I was super sad because Brian, he's the owner of Half's Hot Sauce. He had made a sauerkraut hot sauce, and I couldn't take it with me. I'd run out of space, and the cool pack that I had, I couldn't fit it in there, and I was just devastated, and so I left it behind, and I think of it fondly, and sadly, I still think of it to this day, and that's been at least probably, 6 months, I think.
6 months. Well, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to sign a new contract. Also, what was the that fresh, delicious Texan beer?
Oh, yeah. They went out of business.
They did?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, they're gone. Yeah.
So
it's your fault. You didn't drink enough beer.
Well,
I tried my best. I really didn't. You know that. I was a real team player. I was like, that's why most of the podcasts, I was really drunk, because I was like, I'll just have six or seven of these and support these guys, and it'll be really good. It was not really good.
Even you couldn't save it.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, he chimed in, but it was not very good. And Donald was too drunk. Yeah, it was rough. But we're here kind of just to kind of riff a little bit and talk. It's been a minute. And we were thinking, well, let's discuss a few fun things here. Let's discuss from the past. Yeah, a little bit. I was just thinking about this because we were talking about how successful films have to be. So, like, they're talking about James Gunn's Superman and how
Man of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a huge success, but it's not the equivalent to what huge successes were not more than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
For superhero films.
Yeah, it didn't crack $1 billion.
Yeah, if you don't crack $1 billion, you're not worth shit.
That's what people feel, but they misunderstand how a lot of these movies are produced. And I didn't know this myself, at least with this particular movie. They made back a lot of their money ahead of time because of all the merchandising deals, licensing deals. Like, they literally pulled in like over $100 million from that alone. You know, product placement deals, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already kind of ahead of the game.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, my Alexa. And I'm going to keep saying Alexa, because if you're playing this out loud, Alexa will go off and be like, yes, how can I help you, Alexa? So my Alexa kept saying it had a Superman option. So I selected it, and it would make little fun noises. And I would say, hey, Alexa, have a good night. And Alexa would be like, have a super evening. And then it would play like a little clip of Superman or something.
Mm.
Don't get eaten by a kaiju, and then you would hear the little kaiju, you know, that kind of thing. So it was interesting. So you are right. Yeah, they marketed the shit out of that film.
Yep. So
I think way more than Fantastic Four than Disney did this time.
Well, Warner Brothers understood. I mean, Superman is basically their Spider-Man for all intents and purposes. This is like your next to Batman, of course, but Superman's the first. You know, this is like the franchise, the character. It's Superman. So you got to make sure you come correct.
Yeah,
Because if you don't, well...
How excited are you now that we find out that it's Superman, then next year it's Supergirl, mm-hmm. and then the year after it's Superman again?
Oh, what's the day? Is it 27 or 28?
2027.
Oh, that's stupid. I told you my idea about that. They should wait until 28 because it would be the 90th anniversary of the character. This is like good marketing, man. You mm-hmm. can market this through cartoons.
James, I hope you're listening.
Through DC Comics. I mean, good Lord. This is like, you know what? I hope they push it back to 28, to be honest, because you need time when it comes to these type of movies to really get the script down pat, to really... nail performances properly and all that. Of course, most importantly, you might spend like a whole year on post-production and special visual effects alone.
Right.
So my opinion, if I were them, be patient, wait until 2028.
Yeah. I'm wondering who's going to be like doing these other films.
Supergirl?
Like the other films in general, because there's, no, I'm pretty sure he's doing Supergirl too.
Directing?
Like, yeah.
You sure about that?
I think, right?
Well, let me look that up.
Maybe I'm wrong. But like, those are like his babies. I'm pretty sure he wrote the script at least for that.
I'm sure he's involved,
but
no doubt.
I don't know like when it gets handed over to somebody else.
Yeah, it's not
because he's a one man show right now.
A guy named Craig Gillespie is the director for Supergirl.
I don't know who Craig is.
Well, would you tell it to his face? You don't know who he is?
Well, yeah.
Like I don't know who you are, sir.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it that way. I'd be like, hey, I'm Donald. It's nice to meet you. And he'd be, oh, I'm Craig. And I'd be like, oh.
Well, guess what? Filming, according to Wikipedia, unless they're lying, principal photography already began back in January. So you know what? At this point, they're probably, oh yeah, they're done. They wrapped it on May 10th. Filming, so they shot in Iceland. Yeah, it's done.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. God damn. That was fast.
Mm-hmm. Good Which is Lord. Good. That means they had faith. And the dailies they saw on Gunn's Superman movie, they said, yeah, we'll green light Supergirl then. Go, go, go. We'll take our chances. Green light Supergirl. We'll let the cards fall where they may, mm-hmm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to see that Batgirl.
Unfortunately, we're going to get some really deep connections because that's supposedly...
Something escaped. You know
for legal... Well, I'm sure somebody has it on their hard drive. I have no doubt about mm-hmm. that. The question is... They're going to have to leak it in such a way where it can't be traced to them because, you know, as the old saying goes, you will never work in this town again. You don't want that happening to some poor, you know, editor or whomever that person is, a producer.
Right, right.
But unfortunately, for legal reasons, because they wrote the movie off when Discover, whatever, bought them out, mm-hmm. Discovery bought them out, they can't legally ever release that film. It's bizarre. It's some weird legal corporate thing.
Yeah.
I can't explain it, but... Supposedly, in order to maintain the write-off,
yeah,
they can't release it, which is it's sad. It had to be one of the sacrifices because yeah, all that time and effort being put into it, and you can and they did a special screening course for the cast and crew, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, unless someone pulls a Fantastic Four, the '90s one that yeah. was, that's the only way I could see it happen. Maybe one day somebody
find it in a flea market and somebody has it on VHS
or next Comic Con, somebody happens to have like a little
jump drive. Yeah.
Hey man, you want to see Batman? It makes me see Batgirl.
It's got the little bat symbol on it, and they're like,
"Is this the Batgirl movie?" Shut the fuck up.
You need a hit. You need a taste. A little taste of the Batgirl.
That would be funny if they're selling these thumb drives for like $50 a pop.
that'd be hilarious if it was Warner Brothers themselves, and that's how they made the money.
That would be even really funny. They're secretly selling
bootlegging their own shit. Oh, you motherfuckers!
Hey, that'd be kind of funny. That would be funny.
Yeah,
that would be hilarious. I'd probably laugh so hard. I'm like, man, you guys are slick,
right? Yeah, dude. Okay, so like we were talking not long ago, we were talking about films, like superhero films. Because we were talking about, you know, how you're not making as much on superhero films, but they're still considered successful.
Mm-hmm.
So then we were talking about, well, let's think about some successful superhero movies that has come out in the past. And, you know, one of the ones that just pops in almost automatically would have been the Ninja Turtles one. That was a craze.
The first one did very well, obviously. We were little kids.
Yeah.
Obviously, ran to the movie theater to watch it. We were excited.
Oh, man. I remember waiting in a line outside, and that was my first experience ever waiting in a line to see a movie.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I was super excited. Yeah, and a buddy of mine was in the theater. I got to sit next to him, too, because he went to go see it, but their print melted.
What?
Yeah, so they had to rain check them. So they had to come back to watch it.
Movie was a major success. $13.5 million budget and full... gross of $202 million.
Wow.
So, major success.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, if you even add in marketing and stuff like that, you know, you're still probably only sitting at 50. So, you know, to quadruple your budget like that is pretty spectacular.
Unfortunately, the second movie did not do as well. You know, $25 million budget and only brought in $78.7 million. Still, you know, successful, but not on the level as the first one. I guess they thought Vanilla Ice would have helped too. You know, go ninja, go ninja.
Oh, that was the best, dude. Are you kidding me?
That was fun.
Yeah.
You would think that would have helped, but I guess.
It was a great film. Like, I love the second one. The second one's great. You get Toka, Rezar, you get Kino.
And it's a short
Ernie
movie.
Ernie Reyes Jr. is amazing in it. Are you kidding me?
It's only 88 minutes long, but yeah, you know.
You know, the problem is that they changed April O'Neil's. I think that's the issue.
That could have been a problem too.
Because I remember watching it and I was like a kid and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I was so mad.
And then just having these lower returns, part three, $21 million budget, only brought in $54 million. So if anything, it may have just barely broke even. So at that point, they were done.
Yeah, that would have killed it for sure.
They were done because certainly it had done better. There would have been a fourth movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be in the future mm-hmm. when they rebooted it.
Yeah, TMNT, right? It was the fourth one was the animated one, completely mm-hmm. computer animated.
Yeah, I have that on DVD. That was pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I never seen the Michael Bay produced ones. I don't know if it was you or someone else was telling me they were terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, it was me. They're pretty bad.
The only thing I did find disturbing is like, why are these turtles, they're roided up? Like they're huge.
Yeah, it was just dumb.
A little too big there. But to me, possibly to be honest with you, the best Ninja Turtle movie would be the animated version. What was it called? It was like Turtles Forever or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? Where you saw turtles from, it's almost like their version of the MCU. You had all these different versions of the turtles.
Yeah, no, I think it was. I think it was
Turtles Forever, something like that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was so much fun. So much fun.
So good. It was like the current turtles. Went back to the 90s and our version of the turtles.
Oh, man, that touched my heart.
The wisecracking, and they had the different color bandanas.
And they were shorter, you know, because obviously they were shorter.
And then they met the comic book version.
Oh, that was so cool.
You can still watch it on YouTube if you type it in.
Yeah, I gotta watch that again. That was so much fun.
Oh, it is.
That was basically like the concept.
It's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah, the concept of Spider-Man No Way Home was done years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing different Spider-Mans together, bringing different turtles together.
To stop the worlds from ending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very clever.
Very fun.
Very fun. Very fun. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, now you know. So yeah, we did the turtles and stuff. Another one that was really successful was The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
That one did really, really well.
Unfortunately, there was some morbid fascination, of course, behind it for obvious reasons. They wanted to see if Brandon Lee's first movie, was it really worth it? Was it any good? Was it, you know, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic. It definitely influenced future movies with that type of dark setting.
Did you watch the reboot?
No, I heard it was terrible.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I've avoided it like the plague.
Plus, unfortunately, I'm used to who the original Crow is, you know?
You know what I really liked? I like the original Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it was fun.
With Sylvester Stallone.
It was fun. I like both movies.
But I also liked the Carl Urban one, too.
They're both fun.
I thought they were both really fun. And I understand that the guy's not supposed to take his helmet off, like, period, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I didn't care. You know what I mean? It was just Sylvester Stallone playing Judge Dredd. It was really cool.
It's sly. He has to show his face.
Right.
You got to do what he got to do.
You got to show my face.
It's in the contract, so he has to do it.
Yeah.
It's in the contract.
It's in the contract. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah. But good movies. I thought they were both good. I remember watching the 94, I think it was 94, 95, 95, Judge Dredd, I think.
95.
Yes, when it came out. I remember Taco Bell? Was it Taco Bell? No, that was Demolition Man, wasn't it?
Yes.
That had the Taco Bell tie-in.
Yes, that's 93.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting that Rob Schneider is in
both
of those. Him and Stallone must have taken a shining to each other. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise, why would he be welcome? Unless it's the directors or something.
Yeah, chances are they probably, you know, hit it off pretty good.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you know what? I like you. I like you. You know, and he's like, okay.
Yeah, Rob kind of canceled his own career for a little while, and he's trying to claw his way back out. He was in that new Happy Gilmore
sequel.
sequel, yeah, for like a hot second. Did you get to see that, by the way?
No, I know it's, I'm sure it's an SNL reunion on there of some sorts, right, besides him.
It's actually very sentimental, like the first half.
Really?
Very sentimental, and it's really touching. And then the second half is fucking batshit crazy.
So like two different movies.
Two different films, 100%. It's two different films.
I hate when they do that.
It's weird. It's weird. I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it for what it was, but damn, it was weird.
That kind of reminds me of a great classic 80s movie. At least the first half is really good, and that's Full Metal Jacket. It's two different movies. When they're in boot camp, it's one thing, and it's just amazing, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they get to Vietnam, it's like, you don't care anymore.
Nope.
Don't care anymore.
And you, sometimes you wonder if that was purposely done.
To my understanding, there was a third section of the movie that got cut out completely.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So
kind of gutted the heart of the whole thing, huh?
Maybe. Maybe it would have been better to have left it in there, but we'll never know.
The world may never know.
We'll never know.
No, unless AI figures it out.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Actually, what's scary is AI, I have no doubt, is going to start remaking movies and really trick us at some point when you really won't be able to distinguish what's real from what's not. Like, think about it. I have no doubt, and this is where a lot of these estates are going to be coming in soon, like there's no tomorrow. Is just putting in old school actors into modern day movies. So let's say you always wanted to team up John Wayne with Arnold Schwarzenegger in a movie. You'll be able to do it. As crazy as it is.
That would be cool.
Be cool and crazy at the same time.
I'd be down for that. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Hey, partner.
Yeah.
Grr.
Yeah, I would like to see The Shadow and The Phantom. I'd like to see Alec Baldwin and Billy Zane together.
That could work.
In a film.
That'd be fun.
I mean, it can't work very well now.
Yeah.
Because both of those men, I think, have eaten their feelings a little, maybe too much. I don't know. And there's a little tarnish, or should I say rust?
Yeah.
In Baldwin's name right now.
Yeah. And pun intended.
Yeah. Very, very much intended.
He got very lucky. He got very lucky.
Yeah.
Then again, I do find it disturbing. Similar to John Landis over 40 years ago with the Twilight Zone movie, he deserved to have gone to prison.
Yeah.
Because he was very much involved in that tragedy.
Yeah. That was kind of scary.
Especially with using, you know, underage children and working them late at night. You're not supposed to do that.
Mm-mm.
But they're immigrant Asian Vietnamese children or something like that. So who cares? You know, no one's going to miss them. You know, that they probably had that kind of, you know, cavalier attitude. But you kind of killed someone, you know, an important actor along with them. And that's probably what really got them in trouble with Victor Morrow. If it was just the kids that died, they probably would have cleaned that up real quick. I hate to say it. They would have cleaned it up real quick. But when you killed a major actor like that, it's like, oops.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Shit, what do we do now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously going back to The Crow, you know, same thing. I've always said this. I think you'll agree with me on this. Had Brandon Lee lived, I think he would have had most of Keanu Reeves' career as far as action movies are concerned. Think about it. I think Brandon Lee could have been John Wick. I think Brandon Lee could have been Neo in The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could have done Speed.
He could have done Speed.
Bill and Ted.
Well, I don't want that.
But he definitely could have done Speed. That's an easy one. Most people could have done Speed.
Even you.
Even me. Jamie Kennedy could have done Speed.
Now, that would have been an interesting movie to watch.
Yeah. There's a bomb on the bus. Wow, waka, waka, waka. You know? okay, Jamie Kennedy. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Or like, what's his name? Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, what happened to that guy? He disappeared.
He was supposed to take over the franchise from Michael Gross for Tremors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was the next guy to take over for him because it didn't work out with Jamie Kennedy. They wanted Jamie Kennedy to do it, and it just didn't work out. Jamie wanted too much money. So they pivoted over to Napoleon. I can never remember that guy's name.
John Heder?
Yeah, is it John Heder?
Yeah, John Heder.
John Heder? Yeah, so it was him. They pivoted to him because he was a little more budget-friendly, I think. He did a good job, you know? It's a good little film.
It's like after Blades of Glory, he kind of just... I mean, he's still around. I'm looking at his filmography right now. It's just that you don't see anything major.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good in Blades of Glory. I rewatched that not long ago.
Yeah, that at the old theater.
Mm-hmm. We did at the ArcLight Cinemas.
I think he's a brother, you know, a Mormon brother, and I think he was concentrating more with his family. Because I'm looking at his body of work the last decade is a lot of voiceovers, a lot of animations and whatnot. So it could be that. It just be him, you know, being a devoted family man and just outdo these other.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe he made enough money and he was like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah, which is fine. I don't blame him for that. You know what? Hollywood can, you know, get to people. You don't want to deal with the lifestyle and just dealing with the craziness.
Once you've made some money, you know, enough money, you might be okay to not have to make more.
Just peace out. Like, you know, I'm out. I got my money. I'm moving to wherever, Idaho or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What was one of the films that came out, like a superhero film and stuff? Because I know there's a lot that came out in the 90s. Like, like the 90s period. Like, what's one that kind of surprised you that you were like, wow, this is actually really good? Because I think for me, as campy as it was, I still really enjoyed the hell out of Tank Girl.
Yeah.
I think Tank Girl really shocked me. I thought it was going to be just completely stupid. And it's got a lot of dumb moments, don't get me wrong, but it's actually really good, too.
Yeah, you had fun with it.
Yeah, had a lot of fun with it. And Naomi Watts, a young Naomi Watts. That's one of her very earliest roles.
Matter of fact, this year is the 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
1995.
God damn. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Which Judge Dredd and Tank Girl on the same year.
Yep. Malcolm McDowell, Naomi Watts.
The Mask was another big one. Jim Carrey. But I think we all kind of knew that was going to be a big hit because it was right on the heels of Pet Detective, which was huge for him.
And he was the perfect person to play Mr. Lipkis.
Oh, yeah. Somebody stop me.
You know, the famous his rubber face personality and the way he can move his, you know, facial gestures and his, you know, body.
Yeah.
You know, he's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. To be like a rubber man. He would have been a great plastic man, too.
It's funny you mentioned that. He still can be.
He could be an older one, yeah.
He could be an older plastic man.
Yeah, certainly could.
And, you know, he would definitely take advantage of the role. He would go crazy with it. He would absolutely eat it up. He would definitely make a great Patrick O'Brien.
Patrick the Eel O'Brien.
All right, let's be specific. Patrick the Eel O'Brien.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's give him his full respect.
Respect on that name.
Respect on that name. But here's the problem with the Plastic Man. Since he's so powerful and so, you know, virtually indestructible, how do you make him sympathetic? It's just, that's going to be the problem.
I don't think you need to. I think he's just a comic relief.
In his own movie? By himself?
Oh, no. We're not putting him in his own film.
That's my point. It would be very difficult to put him in his own movie. You have to put him in a Justice League movie or something like that. You would have to, because if he's just by himself, it's just
super buddies or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a problem if he's just on his own.
Yeah, no. They got a few stretchy people. Elongated Man and Plastic Man. Elongated Man was an original DC creation. Plastic Man was from Fleetway or Quality?
Quality.
Yeah, he came around. He came with the package deal with Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters or whatever, if I recall. Which, that's how we got Black Condor.
Which would be like another podcast to discuss all these characters that eventually...
Smaller companies that got absorbed. Rolled in. Yeah, absorbed. And some of them that are still on their own.
Quality, Fawcett, Charlton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, but some of these guys are still on their own.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting to see. You know, Doc Samson, right? Doc Savage.
Doc Savage.
Yeah. And then there was just Samson. Samson was, I think, an old Gold Key creation back in the day.
And right now, the name is Casey. What's the caveman character who's like almost eternal? The DC character. He was great in this DC animated movie.
Jesus. It starts with a K or something.
Vandal Savage. That's what I'm thinking of. Vandal Savage.
Oh, Jesus. That is not where I thought you were going.
Vandal Savage.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was not thinking Vandal Savage. But Vandal Savage is great.
He's a cool character.
Yeah, I always wanted Tim Curry to play Vandal Savage.
You know, he looks the part.
He would have been amazing. He would have been amazing. But, you know, things happen.
Yeah, Vandal Savage, he looks the part.
Yeah. So if you take the budget and like what some of these films made in the 90s and put it now, then you have a big fat failure on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but if you had made, like if Superman that just pulled in what, north of $600 million, right? Going towards seven.
Yeah, probably at seven, hopefully.
So it goes in at that. Like, you're looking at the biggest phenomenon of the 90s was the Ninja Turtles. That movie that came out, what, 1990?
Yeah, 1990, the first one.
1990. So if you're looking at that, and that made a little over $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine adding $500 million more.
To that number.
To that number. How insane that would have been back then. Like, incredible.
The New Line Cinema would have been smiling ear to ear.
I mean, we had Batman. Batman was a huge,
success. First one especially. Really, the first one was a huge success. And of course,
huge.
And they made more money, as you know, from the merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jack Nicholson, to this day, until he leaves this world, will be dancing and singing to the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes money off everything, every purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great for him. It was really smart.
Smart attorney. He had a smart attorney who cut that deal.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there.
Mm-mm. No, I need an attorney to do that deal with me.
Yeah, get that kind of bread.
Yeah. Yeah. So moral of the story, kids, is to just be a good superhero.
Or villain.
Or villain. And
get that bread.
get that cheddar, baby. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap this one up. We've been rambling for too long, and I'm sorry that we've hurt your ears. But I want to thank you all for sticking with us on this podcast. And again, I want to thank WCBH Studios here in lovely Chatsworth, California, and courtesy of Rumble Spoon Productions. So thank you all for that. And if you're out and about and, you stop by, perhaps we'll see you
at a brave, powerful, courageous, and always inspiring comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.